We're part of the Southwest Central Church of Christ. He is the only minister on staff over there. And I have always considered Southwest Central and Bering Drive like-minded. We practice in some of the same ways, believe in a lot of the same ways, and our community is very similar. It is not very often that I get to use my gifts in the pulpit in a Church of Christ as a woman, so thank you so much for opening up your pulpit to me. It is with great joy that I get to do that here. I was able to preach a sermon in my church 2 weeks ago as the first woman to do that. And so, again, just such a great honor. Thank you. I also love Cynthia. I think she is an amazing woman. Her and I have sat on different committees together, have chaired different girls' conferences. I have worked with teens for years, as I know Cynthia has. In fact, I worked with her when she was a teenager. And so I love sharing meals with her and listening to her talk about all of you in this community. And it is a great joy to watch y'all love her. Y'all do that very well here. So thank you. I also love the Christians, Jeff and Jen and Cole and Reese. I really admire the man of God that Jeff is and the way that he leads y'all here. I love listening to him speak. I don't know Cole personally, but he sure is fun to follow on Facebook. Y'all, he's doing some amazing stuff right now. I cannot wait to see where he lands for college in the next month or two. And then Jen, I want to say a dear friend of mine, but really she's more like a sister. Jen and I do the same thing. We are both therapists. We have private practices that are less than a mile from each other. I admire the work that she does in the counseling office. And then she has also walked a lot of road with me personally. We know each other very well, meet together once a month. And so I consider her a dear, dear friend. And then Reese is a superhero in our house. Reese is our babysitter for our four-year-old daughter, Cora June. Cora loves Reese, and we love when Reese comes over because Cora knows that she gets to play and hang out, and Steve and I know that we get to leave and go hang out somewhere else and go on a date night. And so I hope that as Cora matures and grows, that she takes on some of the same qualities of Reese. I really admire the young woman that Reese is growing into. So like I said, a great honor to be here with you this morning. Thank you for having me. I will open us up in prayer before I bring God's word. Father God, I pray that you pour the gift of preaching through me this morning. I pray that all the minds and ears and hearts in this room are open to what you have to say to us. And I pray in a powerful way that your spirit rests thick on each person sitting in this place. Christ's name I pray. Amen. So as most of you know, it is the fifth Sunday of Lent this morning. Lent is one of my favorite seasons. I anticipate it even more than I do the Advent and Christmas season. I love joining in Lent practices that lead up to the Holy Week, and then lead up to the crucifixion, and then the great celebration that comes with Easter and Christ rising from the dead. And again, when Jeff and I were starting to talk about what verse and chapter that I would preach on, getting to see that I would preach in the Lent season and then get to preach on a story that had Mary in it, I was beside myself. It was a lot of fun to get to prepare this as a woman and then preach on such a prominent woman throughout all of the Gospels. And so, as David just read, this story opens up with quite a cast of characters. We have Martha and Lazarus, and Jesus, and Mary. And then I'm going to assume a lot of other apostles' friends sitting around a table with him in this home. I love the way that it opens where it says Lazarus is eating at a table with Jesus. This means that he is breathing and he is nourishing a body that is alive. Because when most of us think of Lazarus, we think of the man that Jesus rose from the dead. And so right there in the beginning of this passage, it talks about and speaks to God's great power. There was a man that once did not need food, had no air in his lungs, and he is living and breathing. How cool is that? And then you have Martha there, Lazarus' sister, and she is serving everyone as they are eating. And they're sharing a meal in a home, which I love eating. I love eating around a table with good family and good friends and having really good conversation. And so I imagine that's what's going on right here. They're talking, they're hanging out after a long day of who knows doing what. And then Mary gets up and she comes and she sits at Jesus' feet and she takes this bottle of very expensive perfume and she pours it over Jesus' skin of his feet. And then she takes her hair down and she lays this at Jesus' feet and then wipes and rubs this perfume into his skin. And it says that the whole room was filled with this fragrance. And so if people already weren't watching what was going on, the smell alone would have attracted them to see, to acknowledge this act of silence of Mary down at Jesus' feet, cleaning, wiping, anointing, blessing, showing her admiration. Then the story goes on, and Judas is, I can just see him standing in the corner, maybe with his arms crossed, kind of looking. I imagine kind of looking in disgust. And then no one else is going to say it, right? Are you kidding me? She just poured a perfume worth a whole year's worth of salary on your feet. Are you not going to say something, Jesus? Do you know all the things that we could have done with that money? All the people we could have fed? Really? And then I love Jesus' response. Back off. Leave her alone. You will always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. And right there, it speaks to that Mary gets something that not everyone in the room gets. She understands that Jesus is only here for a short amount of time. And Mary gives big, she gives extravagantly, and she gives without saying a word. It is just through her pure action. One of the things that I love to do, especially when I read stories with characters in it in the Bible, is I like to put myself in the place of these characters. And so when I first started reading this, I was like, this is going to be pretty easy. I'm going to be able to put myself in Mary's position because one of my trademarks in junior high, high school, and early college was my hair. So I had really long, bushy, brown, curly hair. It's still brown, it's still curly, but I cut it all off when I was about 20 because it's hot in Houston and it takes a lot of time to take care of long hair here in Houston. But growing up, everyone knew me for my hair. And it took forever to take care of. I went through shampoo quickly. It took me ever to diffuse it, which is this contraption that you put on the end of your blow dryer to like make it all curly. It took me forever to dry it. And then if I felt really feisty that day, I would straighten it, which you got this thing out called a hot iron, and you would straighten your hair out, and that would take me a whole hour to do, and then it would curl up anyways because I have naturally curly hair. But it took forever for me to take care of my hair, and so I didn't wash it every day, and so I took great care of my hair in between. I did not like getting it dirty. I used to go to a summer camp every summer, and we always, on the last day of camp, did something really messy. And in this particular year, one of the things that we did on our messy day was a huge food fight. So we're in the middle of this hot field in New Mexico, and what they did is they took all the teenagers out there, and they lined one group up on this side of the field and another group on this side, and they put all these vats of all the food that had been left over from the whole week of camp in the middle. And then they put all these very clean teenagers on the opposite sides, and a counselor stood in the middle and blew a whistle, and then everyone was supposed to run to the vats, and then you're supposed to throw all this food at you. And I didn't want to get my hair wet or messy or all this stuff in it. So what I did is I decided to pull it all the way back and to put a cap on and then put it in a really tight bun in the back of my hair because then everything can like hit my face or hit the side, and the majority of my long, brown, curly hair that took forever to take care of would not get messy. And this plan worked out really well for me until the very end. And so I thought all the food was gone, and I'd gotten real messy, and everyone was kind of slowing down, and so I turned my back to walk to my side of the field, and I guess someone had been keeping in their hand or reached down to the very bottom of this bucket, and pulled out a huge clump of three-day-old French toast that was covered in maple syrup and powdered sugar, and chunked that thing across the field, and it hit me smack dab in the middle of all of my curly brown hair. I can still hear the sound that all that maple syrup made on my hair, and then just kind of slowly ran all the way down my back. And right there and then, I was done. I was disgusted. It was 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so all the bugs were out, and I have syrup in my hair, and I'm trying to make my way to the bathroom. It took me an hour just to wash everything out of my hair, and then another 30, 45 minutes to get it looking okay again. I do not like getting my hair dirty. And so when I came to this passage, and I was like, oh, I'm going to be able to relate to Mary. And I went to the internet, and I started looking up pictures of Mary and what different people have drawn and painted and sketched of this woman, very uncharacteristic of a Jewish woman to let down her hair in the presence of males, and start rubbing her hair all over Jesus' feet. Y'all, it kind of disgusted me. Because I know we don't have photos and pictures of what people look like and dress like back then, but I'm going to assume Jesus hadn't been wearing nice closed-toed shoes all day. He had been walking dirty streets, stepping over animal droppings. Who knows what else was in the street? And so his feet, they weren't pristine, they weren't clean. And Mary took her crown of glory down and placed that at Jesus' feet and started wiping his feet with liquid, with this ointment, with this perfume. I don't have any perfume that costs a whole year of my wages, but I do have a bottle that's pretty expensive and pretty special to me. I have about 3 or 4 different perfumes that I pick from. And this is the bottle that I use very sparingly. I wore it for you today. I wear it on date nights. I wear it on nights that I know that I'm gonna be out, are days that I know that I'm going to be out all day. I don't wear it on days that I'm just going to be around the house, or the only person I'm going to see is my 4-year-old, or I'm just going to go out and see one client. I have other perfumes from that. I keep my other perfume for special occasion. And so I can only imagine taking this bottle that is worth more than what everyone else in the room is making and pours it all over Jesus' feet. Mary gave big. She gave extravagantly. She anointed Jesus. She admired and loved Jesus with everything that she has. Her faithfulness oozed from her during that moment. You can see it. And you know the cool thing is she didn't even have to say a word. It was all in action. I can identify with some of that. There are parts of me that I like to give big, give extravagantly, that are easy. It's Judas that I really don't want to identify with. It's Judas that I'm guessing no one in this room wants to identify with. Because when you hear the name of Judas, the next thing that at least that I think of is that he betrayed Jesus. He was the man that gave him over. Who wants to identify with that? But the part where Jesus is standing there, looking at this and saying, really? You're going to let her do that? Do you know how expensive that perfume is? I can totally see myself standing behind Judas going, uh-huh, yeah. That's too much. We don't want to identify with Judas, not only because he's a betrayer, but he's also a thief. This verse calls that out very plainly. Says that he kept the common purse, which was the money that he carried around that fed the apostles, housed the apostles, and he took from that purse what he wanted. He was a thief. He was not someone that you wanted to identify with. He was also obviously opinionated, maybe didn't mind calling things out. He represents the unfaithful part. We know that as the story goes on and we lead up into Holy Week and then him turning Jesus over to the officials, the unfaithful nature of Judas. He wasn't faithful to Jesus in the end. But here's the thing about Judas. I don't think he started out that way. Because at one time, he was picked to follow Judas. He was in love with Jesus, and somewhere along the way, he fell out of love. And he just maybe turned into an admirer or someone who just wanted to follow to see what was going to happen. And here's the thing, even after this story, he was still invited to the Last Supper, and he was still called an apostle. And so we hold both of these tensions, the faithful pieces of us, the Mary, and the unfaithful pieces of us, the Judas part. And I think to live fully in what this verse, this passage is calling us to, is we have to hold both of these tensions out to God. Is that sometimes it's going to be really easy for me to give big, give extravagantly, be faithful, live all out there, identify with Mary. And then there's other parts that I struggle with that I want to be scarce, and I want to withhold, and I want to say, no, that's too much. Are you kidding me? We can do other things with that. And those two tensions, they war within us. We see that in the world all the time. The world speaks to us to live a different way, to be scarce, to keep things to yourself. Bigger is better. Build your own stuff. That is not the life that we're called to live, though. So that is the challenge that I want to leave y'all with today. The faithful, the Mary parts, may we live big into those. May we look for opportunities to live extravagantly, to anoint Jesus, to follow him with all of our hearts. And for the places that want us to hold back, to not follow, to be scarce, to be unfaithful, may we hand those over to God too. Because here is the one thing that I know about God. He is big enough to hold both of those. And I don't want to hold both of those by myself. I want him to help me with those and to see the ways that I can hold and pass those off to him. And so may we live big this week, and may we look for the places that we withhold and pass those over and lean more into the faithful parts that Jesus is calling us to.